Not an exact detail, no.
Then perhaps I should furnish you with exact detail.
If you consider the matter too personal.
Please do.
I was able to make him understand that one man's fortune shouldn't be built on the ruined lives of 10,000 others. That all his power and his strength could be made to work for good purposes and not just material ones. I made him see past the dollars to something more lasting.
You're claiming to have changed the entire direction of his life.
That is precisely what I did, sir.
What was Mrs. Gibson's reaction?
The subject was never mentioned. I don't believe she was capable of understanding the ties that bound her husband to me.
Surely she understood completely.
The mental and spiritual ties.
What was your attitude towards her?
I pitied her.
Why?
Because Mr. Gibson treated her very badly. A woman shouldn't be afraid of her own husband. It isn't right.
Did she know how you felt?
Oh, yes. I often reproached Mr. Gibson for the way he behaved towards her.
In public, Miss Dunbar? Before the other servants?
Certainly, Doctor. I'm not in the habit of concealing my beliefs as if I were ashamed of them.
You said until this terrible business happened. How has Mrs. Gibson's death changed your mind?
It wasn't her death. It was what happened just before it.
Whore! Scheming little whore! Deceitful, scheming, lying little peach!
She was like a mad woman. I think she might actually have been insane.
First you steal my children, then you steal my husband. What more do you want? What's next? You want my jewels, my money, my clothes? Well, tell me!
Just a moment.
What, Mr. Holmes?
Where exactly did this meeting take place? When?
On the night of the murder. At 9 o'clock on Thor Bridge.
So you were at the bridge that evening?
My client has never denied it.
Having asked Mrs. Gibson to meet you there?
No, no, of course not.
Oh? That's the impression we gain from the newspapers, Miss Dunbar.
Dr. Watson, a lowly governess does not summon the wife of her employer to meetings.
It was the other way round.
She asked you?
Yes, Doctor, she asked me.
Miss Dunbar, do you mean that literally? What did she say?
No, she didn't speak to me. She sent me a note.
Well, where is this note?
I destroyed it.
What?
Why, Miss Dunbar?
Because she asked me to. All this has been gone over before.
Not by me. What did this note say? The exact wording.
She asked me to meet
her. No. The exact wording.
I don't remember the exact wording. She asked me... No, she implored me to meet her at the bridge after dinner.
Did she say why?
Because she had something important to say to me. Something that had to be said in private. I was to leave an answer on the sundial in the garden.
Didn't that strike you as odd?
Of course it did. But she said that secrecy was vital, that no one must see us discussing anything out of the ordinary.
Did that explanation satisfy you?
No, but I thought I knew the real reason.
She didn't want her husband to know about the meeting.
Exactly. So I did as she asked and destroyed the note.
Whereas she kept your reply very carefully.
Yes, I was surprised to hear that.
You didn't notice it in her hand when you met?
I was rather too distracted by what she was saying.
Yes, of course. When she made these accusations, what did you answer?
Nothing.
You didn't try to defend yourself?
She wouldn't have heard me. I don't think she even noticed when I left.
How long did you stay with her?
Not more than a few minutes.
So you left her at, say, 9:05 at the latest. What time did death occur, Cummings?
The police doctor couldn't be sure.
Yes, he never can. Did he venture an educated guess?
2 to 3 hours before he examined the body.
Which was when?
11:30 that night.
Yeah, so she was killed not long after you left her, Miss Dunbar. Did you see anyone else in the area as you walked away?
No, Mr. Holmes.
Did you hear a shot?
No, but...
But what?
Well, I'm ashamed to say that I was so agitated after the things she said. I was hardly capable of noticing anything.
A considerable pity.
I'm aware of it.
Now, the vital point. This pistol that was found in your room, had you ever seen it before?
What the devil is the meaning of this?
Senator, if you'll just let me explain what
I... Shut up. By God, I'll have you disbarred for this.
Mr. Gibson, please listen to reason.
I don't know why you think you're here anyway. It's Holmes who's the detective, isn't it?
I am Mr. Holmes's partner. We work together.
Not for me, you don't. I thought I'd made that clear.
You, sir, have made several things abundantly clear.
What the devil is that supposed to mean?
I thought I was acting for the best.
Answer me, sir.
No, Mr. Gibson, you answer me. Do you sincerely want to see Miss Dunbar safe from the gallows?
What sort of question is that?
The sort I should care to have answered.
Of course I do, man.
But then you stand in need of my services.
There are other detectives.
You came to me in the first place because you were told that I was the best. You were not misinformed.
I wasn't told that you were damnably rude and no respecter of privacy.
I respect only the facts, the truth.
And what is the truth?
That Grace Dunbar is no murderer.
Can you prove that?
Yes, I can.
I'll see you in my office at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Good timing, Mr. Cummings. Another half hour and the light will be gone.
Forgive me, but is there likely to be anything to see after all this time?
Oh, probably not. But Holmes likes to get a feel for the scene of the crime. Soak up the atmosphere, you understand.
Ah. Well, Mr. Holmes, she was found...
Quiet, just a... quiet.
Oh, sorry.
That's very good. Ah, you were saying?
The body was found just over there. The police marked the spot with those stones.
Oh, very good. How was it lying?
On the back.
Yeah. Any traces of a struggle?
None.
Now, tell me about the note.
It was clutched in Mrs. Gibson's left hand.
Clutched?
So I understand they had to prise open her fingers to get it.
You know, there's something about that note that's been bothering me.
Me too. Carry on.
Well, assuming that the reports were accurate, it said, come to Thor Bridge at 9 this evening.
That's spot on, Doctor.
But Miss Dunbar insists that it was a reply. Hardly reads like a reply, now does it?
Yes, excellent, Watson. Mr. Cummings?
Miss Dunbar swears that what she wrote was, I shall come to Thorbridge. I've been working on the assumption that part of the sheet was lost when it was removed.
Ah, so one edge of the paper was torn.
Well, actually, no, it wasn't.
Yes, interesting.
Interesting? Peculiar, more like.
Some grades of paper do tear in a clean, straight line.
True enough. Oh, what the devil?
Holmes?
Come over here!
What were you doing?
Ruining a perfectly good walking cane.
I can see that. Why, for heaven's sake?
I was trying to chip the stonework.
Why, Mr. Holmes?
To see if I could reproduce this.
Yes, do you see?
Where? Ah, yeah. I've got it. A chip out of the balustrade. Looks fresh.
Curious, isn't it?
Probably done by a passerby, a rambler or some such.
You think so? You must have some interestingly violent ramblers in this district.
Are you sure you won't have one of these?
Quite sure.
Just as you like. Now, where's your partner?
Talking to the staff.
Delegation, eh? I never believed in it. I suppose you were quite justified in wanting the facts, but I can assure you that my relationship with Miss Dunbar doesn't have any bearing on this case.
That's for me to decide, is it not?
I guess most men have a little private reserve in some corner of their souls where they don't welcome intruders. I'd say you knew all about that.
We're discussing you, not me.
And you burst right into that area. I'm not used to being treated like that. Well, now the barriers are down, and you can explore where you will. What do you want to know?
The truth.
Well, I met my wife when I was gold hunting in Brazil. She was rare and wonderful and passionate. Tropical. Very different from the American women I'd known. I loved her. And I married her. It was only when the romance had passed that I realized we had nothing, I mean absolutely nothing, in common.
Your love faded.
I'm not pretending to be any better than I am. You've seen Miss Dunbar. She's a very beautiful woman. I couldn't live under the same roof as her and not feel the way I did. Do you blame me, Holmes? I said that I'd marry her if I could.
Indeed.
But since that wasn't possible, I offered to do anything in my power to make her happy.
If she would do the same for you.
I told her money was no object.
Very generous, I'm sure.
Now, see here, Holmes. I'm not asking for your criticism.
It's only for the young lady's sake that I touch your case at all. Nothing she's accused of is worse than what you've just admitted. That you try to ruin a defenseless girl who was under your protection. Some of you rich men have to be taught that all the world can't be bribed into condoning your offenses.
Hmm. Fine beast, Mr. Bates.
He is that, Doctor. Mrs. Gibson knew a good animal when she saw one.
He was hers?
Oh, yes.
How did Mrs. Gibson get on with the staff?
You won't find anyone with a word to say against her.
Including Miss Dunbar?
I don't know how she met her death, but this I do know. We all liked her, and we all hated him for the way he treated her. He's a villain, Dr. Watson. A damn villain.
That's strong language, Mr. Bates.
Yeah, well, I've nothing to lose now by speaking my mind. I've given him notice. 2 more weeks, and I'll be free of his slavery.
I was told that your family's worked on this land for generations.
Yeah, my great-grandfather was the first estate manager, and it's been father to son ever since. But not anymore. I want you to give Mr. Holmes a message. Will you do that?
Mm. What is the message?
Gibson's not what he seems. All these good works and charities and the rest, it's all fake. He's plausible, and he's cunning, and he's not to be trusted.
I believe my wife was planning to murder Miss Dunbar.
Indeed.
Maria was bitterly jealous of Grace and of the influence she had over me.
Ah, yes, the hospitals, the charity work, the famine relief. Cummings furnished me with a list, most impressive.
Yeah, well, my wife had never been able to turn my mind in that direction.
And so, she was jealous?
Mr. Holmes, she was crazy with hatred.
That fact seems to have eluded Miss Dunbar, at least until their final meeting.
Maria was a clever woman, well able to keep her feelings hidden.
Except from you, seemingly.
You don't get far in this life unless you can see under the skin of people.
Very true.
I think that there was a scuffle. The gun went off and shot the woman who was holding it.
But Miss Dunbar denies any such thing.
Well, that's not necessarily final, is it?
What do you mean?
I mean, she would have been bewildered, in shock. She could easily have hurried home and hidden the gun, not knowing what she was doing.
And now she's trying to lie her way out of it?
Yes. Yes. Exactly.
Here you are, Doctor. The gun room.
Very impressive, Mr. Ferguson.
There are over 300 handguns in the collection. The earliest is 14th century Chinese.
A rich man's hobby.
I suppose so.
And the murder weapon?
An 18th century Spanish revolver. I identified it for the police.
As part of this collection?
I knew it at once.
You're familiar with all these guns?
Part of my duties.
As private secretary? An unusual part?
Mr. Gibson is an unusual man.
Where was it kept?
Cabinet number 10.
You don't keep these cabinets locked?
Mr. Gibson's orders.
What about ammunition? Is that more secure?
Most of the collection's kept loaded at all times.
Good God. Do you approve of that?
One does not disapprove of the senator.
Not openly.
The police still have the gun, of course, but I can show you the case here.
Thank you. This case is made for 2 guns.
Yes.
Then where's the other one?
I'm afraid I don't know.
The second gun is missing.
Yeah. I thought that might interest you.
This is an interesting case all round. What else did you discover?
I'll tell you when we get to where we're going.
What is this place?
It's Mr. Bates' private firing range.
Is the entire household obsessed with guns?
Your Gold King certainly is. He has his own range, indoors. Mechanical targets, soundproof shields, all the latest gadgets.
Whereas Mr. Bates amuses himself with empty bottles perched on a wall. Intriguing contrast. Why are we here?
Because it's a good way from the house. We can talk unobserved.
Well, hardly unremarked. I don't suppose many visitors to Thorpe Place end up here.
Oh, I thought of that. I borrowed these from Bates. Not as exotic as anything from the Gibson collection, but just as effective.
He wasn't surprised?
I told him the target practice helped you think.
And he believed you.
Well, why shouldn't he? It's no stranger than playing the violin, starving yourself, or sitting up all night smoking.
A devotee of the Strand magazine, is he?
I have my followers, just as you have yours now. The governess, Miss Dunbar. The estate manager, Mr. Bates. The private secretary, Mr. Ferguson. And Mr. J. Neil Gibson.
I see we've been thinking on parallel lines.
Choose your weapon, Mr. Holmes.
Ah, thank you, Dr. Watson. Bullets?
Already loaded.
Ah.
Shall we?
Lead on. Now, what's it to be? You got 20 paces and turn and fire?
Yeah, sounds about right.
20. Miss Dunbar is innocent.
Your reasoning?
Imagine yourself in her character.
All right.
In a cold, premeditated fashion, you're about to get rid of a rival.
I planned it. I've written the note to lure her to the bridge. I have my gun.
You face her and you shoot, workmanlike and complete. What do you do next?
I get rid of the murder weapon.
By the quickest, cleanest method.
I throw it in the stream.
Of course you do. You're not going to do anything so stupid as take it home and hide it carefully in the first place where anyone's going to search. You'd ruin your reputation as a criminal.
Perhaps in the heat of the moment.
No.
Or a deliberate ploy to throw us off the scent.
No. Miss Dunbar is innocent.
Good shooting.
Thank you.
And as it happens, I agree with you.
Yes, I thought you might. Now, once your point of view changes, so does everything else. The one thing that was so damning becomes our strongest clue.
Someone put the gun in the wardrobe to incriminate Miss Dunbar. But who?
Mr. Bates.
Holmes?
Was next on your list, I think. Motive?
I'm not sure. Perhaps he doesn't have one.
Tell me about him.
Well, he hates Gibson.
Indeed.
It's hardly surprising, really. Bates' family have managed this estate for generations, and now here's this upstart American making sweeping changes left, right, and center.
Does Bates hate him enough to kill his wife and frame the woman he loves?
No, I don't think so. For one thing, he was very fond of Maria Gibson.
He told you so?
He didn't need to. And for another, how could killing her change anything anyway?
It couldn't. Getting rid of Grace Dunbar might. A gold king with nothing to live for sets sail back to America.
That part's plausible. But not killing the woman to do it, I don't believe it. Besides, Bates has resigned. If you were right, he'd stay in the job long enough to see if his plan worked.
Well, be my guest.
Thank you.
Ah, excellent.
I've stayed in practice.
Is that a joke, Doctor?
Certainly not.
Good. Mr. Ferguson.
He's a sort of Gibson in training. General opinion in the servants' hall is that he thinks his master can do no wrong. I rather got the impression that things have changed.
Well done. He disapproves of the new direction, the charity work.
Ah, how do you know?
Gibson told me.
Then Ferguson isn't as good at hiding his feelings as he thinks he is. That's a strong motive. Remove Miss Dunbar, and the old days may well come back again.
Unfortunately, Gibson also told me that Ferguson was in London on the night of the murder.
Provable?
Ironically enough, he was collecting a charity award on Gibson's behalf. Several hundred witnesses of impeccable honesty.
Your turn, I think.
Thank you.
Which leaves us with the Gold King himself.
Motive. Remove the obstacle to happiness with Miss Dunbar.
Opportunity? Ample.
And barefaced cheek? Enormous. Well, it wouldn't be the first time I've been retained by a murderer to solve his own crime. What else?
The pistols. Who was better placed to take them? And Holmes. The second gun, the one that's missing. That was the murder weapon, not the one the police found at all. Gibson fired off one round from that one, then hid it in the wardrobe and used the matching weapon to kill his wife. Afterwards, he just threw it in the river.
Very sound reasoning. But why implicate the woman he loves?
Whew. I don't know. A blind?
Well, that would be carrying barefaced cheek too far, I think, even for him.
Well, then?
Why do I keep seeing that chip in the stonework?
I've no idea.
Yes, unfortunately, neither have I. I don't... Why? Why? What? Oh, my dear Watson.
Holmes?
You've got it! With the help of the God of Justice, I'll give them a case that'll make England ring.
Then it was Gibson.
J. Neil Gibson. Oh, no, my friend. It was someone quite different. Very well. The clouds are lifting, and the light of truth is breaking through.
I hope you have more to offer than second-rate poetry, Holmes.
I believe I have. Mr. Cummings.
Mr. Holmes.
A string, if you please.
Here you are. But I really don't see
what... Patience, patience. Watson, your revolver.
Here.
Excellent. Got a solid firearm. So how did it compare with the murder weapon, Mr. Gibson?
I'd say it was a touch smaller.
Probably a touch lighter, I fancy. Well, no matter. It will serve. Mr. Cummings, take charge of these, will you?
Of course.
Holmes, if you know who killed my wife, why can't you just come out and say so?
Because knowing is one thing, proving is quite another. Watson here has seen me miss my mark before.
And is he about to again?
Well, we can but try. Find me a stone. There's a good chap.
I beg your pardon?
A stone, round, reasonably smooth, about so big. There are plenty over there.
This better be good.
Now, if I tie one end of the string to the gun... And the other to... Oh, come along, Senator. It's a simple enough task. Pretend you're looking for gold.
This is hardly a time for levity, Holmes.
No, no, you're quite right. Now, if you'll hold the stone for a moment so that I can get my string securely around it...
Mr. Holmes, what are you suggesting?
Not now, Mr. Cummings. Don't anticipate the climax.
Thank you, Doctor. Now, Mr. Gibson, if you'll relinquish your stone to Watson...
With pleasure.
Thank you. Doctor, if you'll walk straight across to the other edge of the bridge...
Very well.
...and lower the stone over the side.
Right.
If I gauge the length of string correctly, it should stop just above the water level.
Let's see. Yes, you're right. Ready to take the strain?
Ready.
I'm letting go... Now!
Holmes.
Now, I'm standing where Mrs. Gibson stood, and I've done everything that Mrs. Gibson did. The string, the stone, the gun, the fatal shot. Ah! I fall backwards and let go of the gun! Ah! Now, if you examine the stonework...
A new chip!
Not 2 inches from the old one!
Yes, your gun may have been lighter than hers, Doctor, but it was pulled over that balustrade with just as much force. Drag the river, Cummings, and you'll find Mrs. Gibson's suicide weapon lying right next to Watson's pistol. Was there ever a more exact demonstration? Senator?
My God.
Your gun all right, is it?
Oh, yeah. Seen far worse than a quick dip in a stream.
Good. Do you know, I don't think we've ever come across a stranger example of what perverted love can bring about.
I agree with you. To plan it all out like that.
Remarkable subtlety of mind, the late Mrs. Gibson. Extracting that note from her victim and changing it the way she did. I believe that's unique.
Well, you should know.
Yes.
There. Good as new.
Splendid.
Until the next time, I suppose.
A drink?
Yes, thank you. You know...
What?
I was very impressed with Miss Dunbar. We've helped a remarkable woman.
And a formidable man.
Yes, indeed. Do you suppose they'll join forces in the future?
It seems likely. Powerful combination.
Oh, yes.
One that'll make its mark on the world.
Yeah. No question. Thank you. Two very different people, of course.
With more in common than is visible to the naked eye. A recipe for success.
Is that a fact?
Ah, so I've heard.
Your very good health.
And yours.
In The Problem of Thorbridge, Sherlock Holmes was played by Clive Merrison and Dr. Watson by Michael Williams, with William Hootkins as J. Neil Gibson and Charlotte Attenborough as Grace Dunbar. Maria Gibson was played by Jilly Bond, Joyce Cummings by Charles Simpson, Marlowe Bates by Michael Tudor Barnes, Ferguson by Mark Straker, The Police Sergeant by George Parsons, The Policeman by David Antrobus and Joshua Taub, and The Warder by Don McCorkindale. Other parts were played by members of the cast. The violinist was Leonard Friedman. The Problem of Thorbridge was dramatized for radio by Bert Cools and directed by Enid Williams.
All right, children. Everybody ready? Now, then I'll begin. I'm going to tell you a brand new story today. It's about a poor princess who lived in a lonely kingdom far away. More than anything else, she wanted to see the great wide world outside, but she knew that she never would. Then, one day, do you know what happened? A handsome prince came riding into the kingdom. Yes, he fell in love with the poor princess, and she fell in love with him. And he said, "Come away with me to my land and be my wife." And she did. And the princess and the prince lived very, very happily, forever and ever after. Isn't that a wonderful story?
The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith by Bert Cools, with Clive Medicine as Sherlock Holmes and Andrew Sachs as Dr. John Watson, and featuring Mark Gatiss as Bert Stevens and Christian Rodsker as Inspector Dawkins. The Shameful Betrayal of Miss Emily Smith.
Tell me your name.
You know my name.
This is for the official record. Your name.
My name's Bert Stevens.
And you're the odd job man at the school in Pengate.
Well, not anymore, I imagine.
Just answer the question.
Yes, I am. Was.
You worked with Miss Emily Smith.
Of course I did. Why do you keep asking me questions when you already know the answers?
All right. Here's a question I don't know the answer to. Have you ever killed anyone before? Or was this your first time?
What do you make of these?
What are they?
They arrived in the morning's post, examples of contemporary art. This one first, I think.
Landscape. What is it, chalk and charcoal? Well, decent quality anyway. What's that in the snow?
As usual, you penetrate straight to the heart of the matter. The second drawing gives a closer view.
Thank you. Oh, someone lying down.
And finally, closest of all, the highlight of the collection, sensitively titled A Study in Frozen Death.
Ah. Well, I can see why they appeal to you, but I'm not sure I want them over the mantelpiece.
What do you make of the footprints?
This single set leading to the body, they're meant to be hers, obviously.
And?
The second set goes up to the body and then away again. Presumably they're meant to belong to whoever stuck the knife in her chest.
Chisel.
Oh, chisel, then. I still think it's a macabre set of pictures. Where did you buy them?
That's a perfectly reasonable question, given what you know of my taste in art.
But
as it happens, I didn't buy them. They've been sent by one Detective Inspector Geoffrey Dawkins of New Horton in Kent. He asks for our assistance with, and I quote, a most extraordinary and baffling crime.
These are pictures of an actual murder?
Drawn from life, or lack of it.
Oh, please.
It was committed 2 days ago and captured for posterity by an enterprising local artist.
Well, I can't see anything baffling about it.
Because I haven't yet given you all the facts.
Well, what is it you haven't told me?
That second set of footprints, the ones that come from the opposite direction.
What about them?
Well, you've already remarked that they go up to the corpse and then away again.
Well, yes, it's obvious.
But what isn't obvious is that they were made by the man who found the body.
But that means...
Exactly. Both he and his wife swear that when they first saw the scene, the snow was completely undisturbed, except by the dead woman's own footprints.
It was the stab wound that killed her?
Without question.
A suicide?
She left no notes, and the idea is unthinkable, according to the inspector.
Oh?
Well, he doesn't elaborate, but self-stabbing to the heart isn't exactly a common method, at least not this side of Japan.
But she's in the very centre of the field.
You see the problem.
With a wound like that, she could only go 2, maybe 3 steps before she collapsed.
So the fatal attack must have happened more or less where she fell.
She walked into the open field,
leaving her footprints in the snow.
And then someone murdered her.
But left no footprints at all.
A most extraordinary and baffling crime.
To an official detective inspector, at least.
This thing's as sharp as a scalpel.
Observation of details. Very good. Mr. Holmes would be proud of you. What a pity he's gone home and can't see how well you've learnt your lessons.
He'll be back for the trial.
Oh, and you're looking forward to telling him how clever you've been since he left. There's no point in having tools if you're not going to treat them properly.
You know about tools, do you?
Of course. I need them for my work. Hammers, screwdrivers, saws.
Chisels.
Oh, yes. Chisels are especially useful.
Mr. Holmes, an honour.
Inspector Dawkins.
And Dr. John H. Watson.
Inspector.
Oh, I'm a great admirer of your writing, Doctor. Never miss a Strand magazine.
Oh, very kind of you.
The case, Dawkins. Have there been any new developments?
To be honest, Mr. Holmes, I'm afraid I've brought you down here for nothing. The fact is, gentlemen, I have the killer under lock and key.
Oh, good work, Inspector.
Thank you, Doctor.
You have a confession?
Not yet.
But then you have proof.
Well, not only is the murder weapon this man's property, he was seen having a blazing row with Miss Smith, with a dead woman, 2 days before her death.
And that's the whole of your case?
Well, I'll get more.
So you're quite certain of this man's guilt?
Yes, I am, Doctor. I've dealt with a good few murderers in my time. They all have something in common. Something in their eyes that says they're capable of taking a life. This man's got it too.
Didn't kill her. How many times do I have to tell you? You've got no right keeping me here.
I've got every right.
You've got no proof. You can't have. Why are these two here if you can prove it? Mr. Holmes, hasn't he sent for you to find his proof for him?
Tell me about your argument with Miss Smith.
You won't find any proof. I didn't kill her. Mr. Holmes, you've got to get me off.
The argument, Stevens.
It wasn't an argument, just a disagreement.
What was it about?
She was keeping something from me.
Did she normally confide in you?
Oh, yes. She was my friend.
A school teacher and an odd job, man.
That didn't matter to her. She wasn't like that. She used to enjoy talking to me.
Until recently.
She changed. She was secretive. Something was worrying her, eating away at her. I told her I wanted to help.
What did she say?
She told me she didn't need my help. She'd sorted everything out for herself.
I've got witnesses who heard raised voices.
She was short with me. I'm afraid I forgot myself.
Shall I tell you what really happened?
You've already told me.
I think you made advances to her.
No.
I think those advances were unwelcome. She put you in your place and you didn't like that, did you, Stevens?
I would never have done that. Never.
Dawkins, you have no case. This tea is disgusting.
I've got enough. And he'll cough, you'll see.
Tell me about the dead woman.
That's not easy.
Oh, why not?
Because Miss Emily Smith was a retiring sort of person. Well, if it didn't sound so insulting, I'd say she was almost anonymous.
What about her family? Her friends?
Her family were local people. They're all dead now. And she wasn't anxious to make friends.
No admirers, no fiancé.
So it seems.
You must know something about her.
She was quiet, courteous and well-respected.
And good at her job?
Oh, more than just that. She set up the school.
Indeed.
Yeah, when her parents died, I suppose she needed something to do. She'd care for them for a long time. It leaves a vacuum in your life.
What sort of a school is it?
For village children too young to come into town here to the board school. Miss Smith went to the parish council with the idea, and they let her use an empty house. She got a tiny living from them, too.
You seem to have a good deal of information on this anonymous young lady.
Only what's common knowledge, Mr. Holmes. Oh, you're right, it is disgusting.
Inspector, what about the footprints?
Or lack of footprints. Just how did Stevens manage to stab Miss Smith without leaving any traces?
It puzzled me too at first.
Yes, and now?
The snow that night fell in flurries. Heavy bursts with gaps in between. Stevens brushed out his footprints after he stabbed Miss Smith, and the next flurry covered the brush marks.
It wasn't heavy enough to obscure the dead woman's print.
Exactly. Simple, you see. There's a London train in about half an hour. I'll order the wagon for you, shall I?
I believe I'd like to stay just a little longer.
Tell me why you did it.
I think you know that, Inspector.
You told me Emily Smith was your friend. You told me and you told Mr. Holmes.
Yes.
You were lying, weren't you?
No.
You weren't friends. In all the years you knew her, you were never a friend. Well?
I never said I was. I said she was my friend.
But you felt very differently about her.
There, you see. I knew you understood. You of all people.
Pretty girl.
With a whole life ahead of her.
Those sketches show her wearing a nightgown with a coat thrown over it. Are they accurate?
Yes. Lawrenson, that's the artist, makes something of a fetish of being accurate. Better than a photograph, he says.
A coat over her shoulders and boots on her feet. It wasn't clear from the drawing, but I assume the boots weren't buttoned.
No, they weren't. How did you know?
Who'll do the post-mortem?
The official police surgeon from Dover. He's coming over this afternoon. Bit of a formality, really.
Well, perhaps we can anticipate his findings. Watson, would you take a look?
With your permission, Inspector?
Yes, of course.
She told me about you, you know. All about you. She felt sorry for you. Did you know that? That was all. You couldn't give her what she wanted, you see. There was one thing she dreamed of more than anything else in the world. But you couldn't give it to her.
Could you?
Me? No. No, of course I couldn't.
My dear Inspector, it's a capital mistake to allow personal feelings to interfere with your investigation.
What do you mean, personal feelings?
You knew this woman. You cared for this woman. You've demonstrated the fact in a dozen ways.
How well did you know her, Inspector?
Not that well, actually. There was a robbery at Pangate Church. Petty hooligans down from London with the hot pickers. I met her then. We fell to talking.
You had something in common. Your parents had died. You were both alone in the world.
I gave that away too, did I? Well, I suppose I shouldn't be surprised. Yes, Mr. Holmes, it occurred to me that we had something in common, so I asked her if I could call. It seemed reasonable enough.
But she said no.
Oh. She was very gentle about it, but no is still no. Doctor, do what you need to do. I'll be outside.
Dawkins?
Oh, thank you. Here, let me.
Thank you. Doctor, what news?
I was right. The blow went straight into the heart. Mm-hmm. No deflection from the ribs or sternum, and she was struck from directly in front.
Directly? You're certain?
Completely.
Excellent.
Is that significant?
Almost certainly. Show me where the body was found. So, the village is there. Path to the church runs so. And the unfortunate young woman, Watson, the first drawing, if you please. The general view.
Here.
Thank you. Yes, the body was there.
Quite right.
Yes, it should be standard practice to invite an artist to the scene of every crime. I could cite you 36 cases where it would have been invaluable.
I'd be extremely interested.
Well, perhaps later.
What now, then, Mr. Holmes?
The couple who found the body?
Dr. and Mrs. Tranter?
Yes, where do they live?
Their house is just over that rise. We passed it on the way here.
Very imposing for a village doctor.
Jealous, Watson.
Just noting the facts.
The doctor married into money.
That poor young woman. I'll never forget the sight of her lying there.
Oh, Dawkins, why is this necessary? Haven't you shown Mr. Holmes our official statements?
I have, sir.
But I'd still like to ask a few questions, if you've no objections.
Well, not if it will help, of course not.
And Mrs. Tranter, do you feel up to it?
It could be enormously valuable.
Then I'll try, of course.
I'm most grateful. Dr. Tranter, at what point did you realise who the dead woman was?
Not until I was beside her.
You didn't recognise anything about her from further away?
I really didn't know her that well.
I see. Mrs. Tranter, were you acquainted with Miss Smith?
I couldn't say so, no.
She wasn't a frequent guest here.
Hardly, sir. I suppose the servants might have known her, but I don't encourage visitors below stairs.
Ah. Well, perhaps you saw her occasionally about the village?
Yes, I did. Sometimes she took the children out for a walk.
Doctor, how was the body lying?
On her back, with her head turned to the side. I didn't see the weapon immediately. Her coat was covering the handle.
She always looked so young.
Just a few more details. Mrs. Tranter, having established that Miss Smith was dead, your husband returned to the path and asked you to go down into the village and summon help.
Yes. Yes, he did. I found some people and told them what had happened.
You're surely not suggesting that I should have left my wife alone there and gone myself?
I'm just trying to build up a picture of what happened. While you waited, did you go back into the field?
I had no reason to do so.
Did you see anyone?
Not a soul.
Two final points. Do you know of anyone who disliked Miss Smith or wished her ill?
On the contrary.
How does it feel to hate someone that much?
I'm sure you already know that, Inspector.
Never mind what you think I know. Answer the question.
I'm awfully sorry, but I can't. I'm afraid I don't remember.
Well, it's about time.
What do you mean, sir?
I fancy Mr. Lawrenson's referring to his recent burglary. Huh?
I most certainly am.
You've been burgled?
Good God above, of course I have. I discovered it this morning and sent a note to your police station, Dawkins. Isn't that why you're here?
No, sir. We're here in connection with the death of Miss Emily Smith. This gentleman would like to ask you a few questions.
My name is Sherlock Holmes.
I know who you are. I've seen the pictures of you. Pretty poor work, some of them, too. And you're Watson.
Dr. Watson. Good afternoon.
Well, you haven't fared any better, have you? Paget hasn't caught you at all. Man ought to be shot.
Oh, we're not here to discuss the deficiencies of the Strand magazine, Mr. Lawrenson. What was taken in the burglary?
I thought you weren't here to talk about that, either.
Just tell us, please, sir.
Nothing. Nothing was taken.
But the robber made a pretty mess.
Yes, he did, damn the man. I suppose that's how you knew about it, Holmes.
That and the broken lock on the window is perfectly obvious, even from here. Shall we continue this conversation outside?
If you'd taken more pride in your garden, your burglar might have left us some clues to his identity. There's nothing like a freshly turned flower bed for preserving evidence.
I have no interest in gardening, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, but you do have an interest in murder.
Only as a subject for my art. Well, Holmes, what can you tell me about my burglar?
Nothing, as yet.
So it's not just your features that the Strand exaggerates?
Perhaps not. How well did you know the late Miss Smith?
Know her? I didn't know her at all.
He was lying.
Yeah. She took delivery of several of his paintings for the school.
How do you know that?
There was a receipt for them amongst his scattered papers. The date was over 2 months ago.
So he'd known her for quite some time?
Yeah, but felt the need to conceal the fact.
If he was the killer, then he's as cold-blooded as they come. To stand there cool as ice and sketch his own handiwork.
Could he have faked the burglary to throw us off the scent?
Yes, he could. The window was crudely broken.
I didn't bring Stevens in until early this morning. I think I'll have another word with him when we get back.
So now you think I'm a burglar too?
You tell me.
I have told you. I didn't break into anyone's house. I didn't kill Miss Smith. I haven't done anything.
Stevens, what's wrong with your back?
I fell off a ladder last week. You can ask Dr. Trencher if you don't believe me.
Did he treat you at the school?
At first. Then I went to his surgery. Why?
How much longer can you hold Stevens without formally arresting him?
Just until tomorrow morning.
Do you intend to charge him?
No. I have to agree with you, Mr. Holmes. I don't have a good enough case.
Well, don't be too downhearted. I rather think that Mr. Albert Stevens will be far more valuable to us at liberty than he would locked in your cells.
What are you staring at? Stop that staring.
Oh, don't be angry, Inspector. I didn't mean to offend you. I was just thinking.
Huh? What? Thinking what?
Thinking how much we have in common.
Don't you say that. Shut up!
But it's true. You wanted to do it too, didn't you? You wanted to do exactly what I did.
Who else holds a key, Stevens?
Miss Smith had one. Probably the school board too.
What will happen to the place now, Inspector? Do you know?
I suppose it'll have to close.
It mustn't close. What about the children?
Or maybe the board could find someone else to run it.
Could that have been a possible motive? Someone wanted the position.
She was killed for a job.
Her murders have been committed for less. Now, presumably she used one room as an office.
Through there.
Well, Mr. Holmes?
Well, they're surprisingly little. Most people's characters can be read quite easily from their workplace. Unfortunately, our schoolteacher was not one of them.
You've seen nothing at all?
Well, beyond the obvious facts that she was tidy, methodical, musical, creative, well-liked by her pupils and much concerned for their general welfare, I can deduce nothing.
Oh, that's right. That's exactly how she was.
Tidy and methodical, yes, you can see that, of course. Musical, you got from the song copies. How did you know she was creative?
Story for the children, written in her own hand.
Ah.
Yeah, there are many.
Yeah, she was always writing stories.
Yes, and her love for her charges was reciprocated. Look at the affectionate nature of the paintings they've done of her.
Her concern for their health and welfare?
It's a copy of a letter to Dr. Tranter, asking if he can arrange a regular visit. Yes, but none of this is important. Let's hope that her home proves more forthcoming.
The villagers found the cottage unlocked on Sunday morning.
Do you know if anyone went inside?
Well, if they did, no one's admitted to it. I put a man to guard the door as soon as I could.
So how long did you keep him stationed here?
Until I got him myself. I went inside, found the keys, and made the place secure. They were on a hook in the hallway, so I didn't have to disturb anything at all.
Ah, yes, that's excellent. Have you been in here before, Stevens?
Of course not.
Well, I thought you were friends.
She was my friend.
But she never invited you here?
Well, she liked her privacy.
Indeed. Now, there are several points of interest in this hallway, wouldn't you say, Sir Dawkins?
Well,
Just stay here, if you please, while I examine the main room. Ah, yes, this is better.
We shouldn't be doing this. It's like a violation.
Don't you want her killer brought to justice?
This is all wrong. I keep expecting her to come down the stairs or something.
She won't be coming down the stairs.
You think I don't know that? You think I don't know she's dead? I know it.
Yeah, and so you damn well should.
I didn't do it. How many times? Is that why you brought me here? You think I'm going to break down and confess?
No, that's not why you're here.
Then why?
Because Mr. Holmes thinks you can help.
Help? How on earth can I help?
By telling me where she was planning to go.
To go? What do you mean?
Come through. I no doubt you observed the travelling trunk under the stairs in the hallway. It was brought into this room very recently, opened and packed. Now, why should she do that if she wasn't planning to go away?
She would never have left the village. What about the children?
We'll come to that in a moment.
How do you know about the trunk?
From the marks on the floorboards and the rug.
Oh.
The trunk was dragged in here, opened out, packed, and then unpacked in some haste and put away again.
Why on earth would she do such a thing?
She didn't. Miss Smith packed the trunk, but it was emptied by someone else. Someone who was strong enough to return it to the hallway without leaving any extra marks on the floor.
I'm sorry, but I can't see that there's been any packing and unpacking.
You should remember how tidy she was. Yeah. Yeah, how neat. It's perfectly plain that a good many items in this room are not in their proper places. Personal things, things she was planning to take with her. I mean, they're close, but they're not exact. Because they were put back by someone working at speed and almost certainly under some emotional strain.
Someone who wanted to disguise the fact that she'd been planning a journey.
Exactly. So we now know three things of some importance. Firstly, Emily Smith intended to leave this village, possibly for good.
I don't believe...
Secondly, this lady who so valued her privacy had a visitor late Saturday evening.
Stevens?
Not me.
And lastly, this cottage was broken into, probably on Sunday night.
Good God.
A rear window was forced. The signs are unmistakable. And the window frame was extremely informative.
Can you tell if anything was stolen?
Not yet, but I don't believe so. Now, I think it's likely that this remarkable burglar broke in for the express purpose of unpacking that trunk. Now, Watson, these should interest you. Now, wait here, please.
What are they, Doctor?
Well, this one's a letter, finished and signed. It's to the school board. It's a resignation.
So she was leaving.
Why didn't she tell me?
And this is older, I think. Looks like a draft for a story.
Huh?
A princess lived in a kingdom far away from everywhere else, where she had to stay because she was very poor. Her only friends were the children.
Her only friends, dear God.
And they loved her, and she loved them very much.
Stop it. It's private.
Then one day, a handsome prince came riding into the kingdom and fell in love with the poor princess, and she fell in love with him. And he said, come away with me to my land and be my wife. And she did.
And the princess and the prince lived very, very happily forever and ever after. Unfortunately, the fairy tale turned out to have a rather different ending. Watson, I can now answer your question. Something was taken, but it wasn't stolen.
Mr. Holmes, please, no riddles.
Patience, Inspector. He'll explain when he's good and ready.
Dawkins, I'll tell you this much. This was a callous, cowardly, and despicable murder.
You know who did it?
Stevens.
No!
I suggest you go home. You have my word that Miss Smith's killer will be brought to justice.
So, assuming you're right, and the story's autobiographical...
The travelling trunk suggests as much. And there's the recent change in her personality, torn between her own happiness and the children in her care.
Well, then, was it this mysterious lover who killed her?
Or someone else who didn't want to see her leave?
And in either case, how was it?
I suggest that you ask yourselves a different question.
What's that?
Why did she die in that particular spot? Never mind the lack of marks in the snow. Why was she in that field, dressed as she was?
Well,
It'd be interesting to hear some more opinions of this singular young woman. I suggest we repair to somewhere more congenial. There we are.
Thank you, Mr. Holmes.
Thank you. Well, did you learn anything?
Oh, yeah, next to nothing. For once, local gossips let us down.
Well, I did say. Anonymous.
Oh, I did discover one thing of interest.
What?
That popular opinion is that you had the right man, Dawkins.
Well, frankly, Mr. Holmes, I'm still inclined to think so myself. You've just let him walk free.
You tell me something.
Tell you what?
Well, some local information. If I was a village odd job man, where would I go if I wanted to lay my hands on some opium?
Opium?
Are you saying there's a drug connection to all this?
I'll explain in a moment, but first, please, answer the question.
You'd have to go into Folkestone or Dover, and then you'd need to show good cause why you wanted it.
You don't know of an illegal source closer to hand?
In a village the size of Pangate?
Hmm.
I'll be prepared to swear that there isn't one. New Horton, the same.
As I thought. Thank you.
You've discovered something. Was it at the cottage?
Yes. Take a look at this.
It's just a cheap drinking glass.
Yes, containing the dregs of something very interesting. I can't be sure without a proper analysis, but the odour is quite distinctive. Watson.
Oh, I think you're right. Some sort of opiate.
Mixed in with a strong red wine.
Where was it?
In Miss Smith's bedroom. It had rolled under a cupboard.
What on earth made you look there?
Well, the fact that I couldn't see it anywhere else.
You were expecting to find it.
Well, let's say there was a very strong possibility.
You can't be suggesting she was in the habit of drinking that stuff.
What I'm suggesting is that her Saturday night visitor provided it for the purpose of rendering her insensible. The wine would have been ample disguise, especially if the young lady wasn't used to it.
But that doesn't make sense. If this visitor was a lover, why would he want to harm her?
And in any case, if he planned to kill her, why content himself with just drugging her?
Oh, surely to God... She wasn't attacked by two separate people.
No. I believe the caller was our murderer. I think he was concerned about being seen either arriving at the cottage or leaving it. If he'd stabbed Miss Smith there and then, the time of death would have pointed straight to him.
Ah, but with her whole system affected by the drug, the time the blow was dealt could never be accurately fixed.
So our man planned to coerce her to drink the wine and then return either later that night or early the next morning.
By God, that's devilish. But who was it?
Opiums extracted from immature poppy seeds. Simple enough process. The poppy is an interesting plant. Its seeds are highly prized by cooks, and its oil much favoured by those who mix their own paints.
Of course I mix my pigments. Show me any self-respecting artist who doesn't. What of it?
Do you use poppy oil?
That insipid stuff. It's too thin for decent dark colours. Dawkins, have you caught the burglar yet?
No, sir.
Then why are you wasting my time with these damn fool questions?
Well, you might be interested to learn that yours wasn't the only house broken into.
Not in the least interested.
The other victim was the late Emily Smith.
Really?
You told us you didn't know her. That wasn't the truth, was it?
Be careful what you say, Dawkins.
She liked your work. At least to begin with. What caused the change of heart?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, she agreed to hang several of your paintings at the school. They're no longer there. Though the places where they were are obvious enough. They were taken down in a moment of anger and never replaced.
The petty-minded little prude.
Oh, so not only did you know her, you didn't like her.
Sorry, Doctor, I didn't kill her. Your precious Mr. Holmes has got it wrong this time.
Seems to me he's got it quite right. Why did you lie about your relationship with her?
My relationship? I don't know that you could call it that.
Call it what you like. Just tell us about it.
Yes, I knew her. Yes, she agreed to show some of my pieces at the school. She liked them. And she thought other people might too. Waste of time. No one in this nest of peasants knows the first thing about art.
Just the facts, if you please.
You want to know why she suddenly went off me? Because I flattered her, that's why.
Ah, you asked her to pose for you.
And little Miss Purity took offence.
You mean you asked her to pose nude?
Good God, you're shocked too.
But why lie about it?
Look at him. Look at the good inspector there, guardian of law and order, defender of the right. He thinks I'm only one step away from a white slaver. That's why I lied about it.
Your reason was as transparent as your attempt to dissemble. If you'd spent more time reading The Strand and less sneering at the pictures, you'd know that it's a mistake to lie to me.
You didn't seriously think it was Lawrenson, did you?
No. Yeah, but there were several loose ends I had to tie up.
About his story?
About his window. I wanted to take another look at the way it had been forced. I saw what I was expecting to see.
So we're right back where we were.
Oh, on the contrary, we progress in giant strides.
I still don't quite follow this matter of the opium. Obviously, the plan went wrong.
Emily Smith was stronger than her killer thought.
And she didn't succumb completely to the drug.
Well, she spent a fretful night slipping in and out of consciousness. There's ample evidence in the state of her bed linen. And finally, this wretched woman, probably with no idea at all of what was wrong with her, staggered out of her cottage and into the field, where she met her end.
Oh, dear God.
She must have thought she'd been taken ill.
Exactly so. And, naturally enough, she was trying to reach her doctor.